Next on the stack, from one iconic title to another, this time we look back at the wonderful history of Holiday, which was brought back to life by Frank Duran. Holiday, the best travel magazine that ever was, besides featuring incredible imagery from the magazine, seeks to explain the importance of a travel title that really made Americans dream. I spoke to Pamela Fiore, who edited the book and is a former staffer at Holiday.
As experiences in magazines go, I couldn't have had a better one because I had just returned to America after spending 3 months in Italy, and I was completely mesmerized by the whole experience of travel. And my first job in magazines was at Holiday, which was the first American travel magazine, and my job was as a fact checker. So I had a fantastic experience at Holiday. I couldn't imagine a better first job for someone interested in magazines and in travel, because after all, Holiday was the first American travel magazine that ever was. And it started in 1946, just after World War II. By the time I got there, it was a different world. It was a different America, for sure. But the standards were very high, and the quality of the journalism, the kinds of writers and illustrators and photographers we had were completely at the top of their game.
I mean, you had some of the best writers in the world. And I think the beautiful thing about Holiday is how lush it was, you know, how, I mean, we do have great travel magazines today, including the new Holiday, but it's, I think the interesting thing about Holiday, how in-depth they went when they went to cover a country. It was not just kind of a press release, oh, stay in this hotel or, you know, do this kind of touristic thing, right?
Yeah, it was not at all that. There was no service at all attached to Holiday. It was really about insights of a country or a continent or a city or a spa. And not all of these were rosy depictions. I mean, in some cases, there were very tough subjects that they covered, like Africa at the end of the 1950s when apartheid was still in place. They did an issue on Russia and another one on Germany. And many of the images were by photographers like Henri Cartier-Bresson and in black and white. And these were very stark photographs of a land and of its people that were not shocking, but they would take you aback. They would you would look at them and see despair instead of glorious luxury. And that was part of what Holiday tried to do. They tried to show a place in all of its aspects.
When you see the magazine, I mean, it's a very high level, you know, production. I presume the magazine had high budgets as well. How well commercially did the magazine do during its existence from 46 to 77?
Not so great in the beginning, I would say, until they changed editors. There was one editor who lasted for less than a year. And then they brought in a man by the name of Ted Patrick. And Ted Patrick had the wisdom to hire a man by the name of Frank Zachary, who became the art director. And the two of them put together a magazine with a vision that was much greater than it had been originally. And that's when the advertising came in. That's when the subscriptions grew. That's when people started to read about it and learn about it. And that was its heyday.
This book, of course, we spoke a bit before the interview, is a labor of love. And tell us about the research. I mean, did you have access to all of the issues of Holiday during this period?
Well, this is my favorite part. There were no archives. So I thought there would be, but there weren't. So I had to track down issues of the magazines starting from the first one in March 1946 and get as many as I could up to the early 1970s. I mean, even though I had worked there, I hadn't saved very many copies. So it was a process that took several months, and I must say a fair amount of money to try to track down these vintage issues. And I don't have all of them. Frank Duran has some as well, so it helped that he had his own stack of magazines. But it was exciting to see these magazines arrive, and each one of them was its own story. I mean, they were, it was like having books delivered to you, because there was that much there that was in depth and exciting to look through.
How is your relationship now with Frank Duran? You know, now, you know, he owns the brand Holiday, and he did a fabulous job in this new reincarnation as well. Did you guys work together? Because what I like as well about the new Holiday is that how much respect they have for the older ones. You know, for example, the latest issue about Egypt, he still like put some pictures from the previous editions, from the previous reincarnation.
Well, the irony is I have never met Frank.
Oh, wow.
We have corresponded, but he wasn't able to come to New York during the putting together of the magazine. And it was my editor, Philip Reeser at Rizzoli, who was the kind of go-between. So I worked closely with Philip, and through Philip with Frank. And somehow we came up with this magical result, and I'm very grateful that it all turned out so beautifully.
Well, it did, including, you know, the cover. It's just fantastic from the paper you've used. It is the perfect book, you know, if you're a big fan of travel magazines. Do you remember an issue from the time you've worked there that is very special to you, or do you have a favorite issue of Holiday?
There were a lot of issues that I worked on when I was there in 1968. But I would say that in some cases it was the photographers that I worked with that I remember most. And one of them is a man by the name of Bert Glynn. Bert Glynn did some wonderful work for Holiday in the 1960s. And before my time, he was the one who covered Russia for the entire issue. And a lot of some of the other stories that we did a piece on Havana, and he took a photograph of, well, the photographs in that were fantastic, but he was able to lift that subject and bring it to life so you felt like you were there, that you were part of that place and part of that experience.
And Pamela, tell us a bit more about your experience in the publishing world. I mean, I know Holiday was your first job, I believe. Tell us about which other magazines, you know, did you work, or perhaps that you still work?
When Holiday was at its very end, the new people who bought it and bought Saturday Evening Post wanted to move everybody to Indianapolis, and that was not going to happen. So the man that I reported to at the time, Caskey Sinet, became the editor of Travel and Leisure, which was a new magazine owned by American Express. And he brought several of us over to Travel and Leisure, including Frank Zachary. And we worked there from 1971 until 1975, when Caskey retired and I was named editor-in-chief. So I was there for many years, and then became involved not only with Travel and Leisure, but with the other magazines that American Express Publishing became involved with, including Food and Wine magazine and Departures magazine. In 1993, I became editor of Town and Country, and I remained there for 17 years. So, I mean, my magazine experience, in some ways you could call it narrow, because it was only maybe three or four magazines, but the experiences there were very large indeed.
And always with iconic titles as well. So
always, yes. And in some cases, iconic titles that needed to be changed. I mean, in the case of Town and Country, when I took it over, it really needed to be rethought entirely. And that's what we did. And that's always the exciting part of doing a magazine, to know when to change it and to know when to leave it alone.
That was Pamela Fiore, Holiday, the best